As we continue our consideration of prophet, our brother Ezekiel, and the name given unto him by the Lord, Son of Man. We saw last time in chapter 17 where the Lord makes very clear that destruction is certain for the king of that remains the king of Israel, the king of Judah, last king. And because of his rebellion against the judgment of the Lord, he said that Nebuchadnezzar is sent there by him, by the Lord. The Lord said that. He sent him. We saw last time and read Jeremiah chapter 27, where Jeremiah there at Israel, at Jerusalem, prophesies unto the people and unto the king himself that the Lord says, take it. Take this chastisement. Take this punishment. But we know that the account is such that he sought to stand against and resist. He sought to rebel. He looked unto Egypt and other means. And as Nebuchadnezzar said, and came to know himself in later years, he came to know himself, nobody stays the hand of the Lord. Nobody changes his counsel and what he's determined to do. Then we come to chapter 18. And I have a title for this chapter that I like to remember it by, and I think it's appropriate for it. And that title is Responsibility, Repentance, and the Attitude of Our Lord. Responsibility, Repentance, and the Attitude of Our Lord. And so let's take a look at this chapter and see what's contained here therein. It's very much in line with things that we've heard today from Sunday school and the message and all the way to this time and what we've seen here in this book. The word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, and of course, the last time that we saw Ezekiel in any physical place, he was in his home with the elders of Israel there before him that were in the captivity. What mean ye that ye use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, And the children's teeth are set on edge. What does that proverb mean? How is it? As I live, saith the Lord God, ye shall not have occasion any more to use this proverb in Israel. As it has been, and as it is in life, and the Lord tells in His Word that children sometimes do bear the transgression of the fathers. If the fathers hate the Lord and despise the way of the Lord, their children are sadly can be benefactors of that. And benefactor is the wrong word, really, but they become the objects even of the wrath and chastisement of the Lord. It can happen. You and I can bring things on our children and our grandchildren in disobeying the Lord. That otherwise wouldn't be if we would be obedient to the Lord. That can happen. That's a principle that's there. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Well, eternally, that's certainly going to be the case. But in the course of life, it can be that our children, they get some of the gleanings or some of the reaping from what we sow too. That's the way it is in life. But as it is with the Lord regarding the prophecy, we've seen in chapters earlier that he says the prophecy isn't going to be for a long time. The Lord says now, and he says, but I'm going to give the prophecy and immediately do it. And we see that with these things that Ezekiel has prophesied because we understand the timing of it. It seems like that Ezekiel might have been telling things going on in Jerusalem right at that time or very near that time. So it is with this proverb that is in the land, and seemingly that even men and women, fathers and mothers would joke about, it's not going to be a joke anymore, and it's not going to be so anymore. We saw earlier in passages, too, where the judgment of the Lord upon the land, that it's going to be so severe. Brother Doug mentioned about some of that this morning. It's going to be so severe that the Lord would bring upon his nation and upon Israel. It's going to be more severe than what he thought to do the inhabitants of Canaan because of Israel's disobedience. He's going to bring that judgment and that chastisement upon them. That what did it say? If Noah and Job and Daniel were in the land, even they, as faithful as they are, he said their righteousness would only deliver themselves. There would be no mercy There would be no grace for a faithful man's household. It'll be him. This chapter speaks along the same line. The Lord says, this proverb is done in Israel. As I live, saith the Lord, ye shall not have occasion any more to use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine, and the soul of the Father, also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And that's the way it is. That's the way that it is. We have things that happen in this life and the result of things of fathers and what they do in this life. The Lord says that is going to be brought to an end here regarding Israel. But then there's also that's in regard to eternity, too. And certainly this principle and this concept spoken about in this chapter certainly applies to eternity. Your parents, your grandparents, those that love you can do nothing about your sins. As much as they would want to. My parents, my grandparents, those that love me can do nothing about my sin. My wife, who loves me, she can do nothing for me regarding my sin. I need a Savior. And I have a Savior, okay? I have a Savior in Christ. But the Lord says, this proverb is done. All souls are mine. The soul of the Father, the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Let's read on. But if a man be just and do that which is lawful and right, and hath not eaten upon the mountains in this wicked pagan worship, neither hath lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, neither hath defiled his neighbor's wife, neither hath come near to a menstruous woman, and hath not oppressed any, but hath restored to the debtor his pledge, hath spoiled none by violence, hath given his bread to the hungry, and hath covered the naked with a garment. He that hath not forgiven, hath not given forth upon usury, neither hath taken any increase, that hath withdrawn his hand from iniquity, hath executed true judgment between man and man, hath walked in my statutes, hath kept my judgments to deal truly, he is just, he shall surely live, saith the Lord God. This is one of those that sigh and cry because of the abominations that are done in the midst of Jerusalem. We read about them earlier, too. See, this person is saved by the Lord and describes them, and they are treating their neighbor as themselves. Now, understand, this passage is not talking about a work salvation. So don't understand that that's not the case. The Lord's dealing with his nation, and he's dealing with the obedient and the disobedient. Why is it that the judgment has come upon Israel so? Because Israeli nationals have been disobedient to God. He's not even talking about whether they're saved or not. He's talking about the wickedness that is ensued by the nation. And it says here, a just man, a man that's righteous and follows what's right, that seeks to obey the Lord in things. If he begat a son, verse 10, that is a robber, a shedder of blood, and that doth the like of any one of these things, and doth not, and that doeth not any of those duties, but even hath eaten upon the mountains, and have defiled his neighbor's wife, has oppressed the poor and needy, has spoiled by violence, hath not restored the pledge, and hath not lifted up his eyes to the idols, hath committed abomination, hath given forth upon usury, and hath taken increase, then shall he then live? He shall not live. He hath done all these abominations. He shall surely die. His blood shall be upon him. Remember how it was in that scene that we saw in earlier chapters with the temple of the Lord and what the Lord told Ezekiel to come to he took the Ezekiel by vision to the temple, and he came there to the north gate. He dug in the wall. He saw the imagery of the hearts of the leadership of Israel and saw all the abominations that they did, and those that were out there in front of the tabernacle that had their back to the house of God and their faces towards the sun, worshiping the sun. Remember how the Lord told that one angel with the ink horn to go and mark those? And then he told the other five that had their slaying weapons, their slaughter weapons, to go out and, yes, even kill those not marked that were there even at the temple of God. The ones that sighed and cried for the abominations at hand, they lived because they want to obey the Lord. They were convicted to obey the Lord. But the wicked, died. The wicked died. I really think that this had something to do also, you know, the Chaldeans. Habakkuk is told about that the Chaldeans would come in, that bitter and hasty nation. Brother Doug read this morning, one of us did, about how that it was with the Chaldeans that have no mercy, no mercy whatsoever. We would say that by chance there would be somebody that would live. But I think that the Lord was taking care of things even in the midst of that occupation, where he delivered those that were obedient to him and did not the wicked. The Lord said, you'll know this is of me because you'll find in your altars and your high places, your men will be slain and laying on the ground all around where they used to worship those false gods rather than worshiping me. It would be a testimony. He shall die. His blood shall be upon him. He shall surely die. His blood shall be upon him. Now, lo, if he beget a son, this wicked man, that seeth all his father's sins, which he hath done, and considereth, and doeth not such like, that hath not eaten upon the mountains, neither hath lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, hath not defiled his neighbor's wife, hath not oppressed any, hath not withholden the pledge, neither hath spoiled by violence, but hath given his bread to the hungry, and hath covered the naked with a garment, that hath taken off his hand from the poor, that hath not received usury nor increase, hath executed my judgments, walked in my statutes, he shall not die for the iniquity of his father, he shall surely live. See, he's convicted from the Lord. He's convicted of the truth, and he's looking to be obedient. He's not perfect, but he's not a man that's pursuing after abominations. The abominations are what's at hand. That's what has brought this judgment upon Israel. He shall not die for the iniquity of his father. His father will die for his iniquity, and he will live. No more the children or the fathers eating the grapes, and the children, the sour grapes, and the children's teeth set on edge, where they bear the wickedness of their fathers. You know, we think about this, and you know, we wouldn't think about it at first glance, but you know what? Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their Babylonian names, they were taken into captivity, but our Lord provided for them, didn't he? They didn't starve. They were faithful to the Lord even before the greatest king that lived. The Lord took care of them. And maybe we wouldn't be taken care of the way we would want. But the Lord does honor obedience unto him. Verse number 19, listen to this. Yet ye say, why? Why are you doing this? Doth not the Son bear the iniquity of the Father? That's the way it's always been. When the Son hath done that which is lawful and right, and hath kept all my statutes, and hath done them, he shall surely live. The Lord's getting it down just a real simple thing. You need to be obedient to me. He's just boiling it down real simple. What I'm looking for is obedience. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But if the wicked, and this is good, that's the way it is with the Lord when he always tells the truth. He always tells about his deliverance and his way. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. There's repentance with the Lord. Submission to the Lord brings repentance into the Lord. The repentant soul shall live. All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. And isn't that what Christ does for us? He takes our sins away from us as far as the east is from the west. Our sins are put in a bag, Job says, and they're in the depths of the sea. Our Lord does that for us. They shall not be mentioned to him, and his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. Obedience to the Lord, hearing what the Lord says. You know what the... And see, and it's fully opened to us maybe not as clear by the word of the Lord and what's given as it was in this day, but to you and me, it's very open what the first command of the Lord is to love the Lord, to obey Him. And what's the first thing that the Lord says to sinners? Repent and believe the gospel. Jesus has come to be a Savior for sinners. Repent of your sins before God and have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and His gospel. He that hath done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die? Does the Lord rejoice that the wicked dies? Oh, His wrath and His justice, His truth requires that sinners and sin or that sin be punished. And in the end, He will mete that out. He metes it out in life. He metes it out certainly after death. But He has no pleasure. He has no pleasure in dealing with sin. But He does so righteously and with a right way. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God? And not that he should return from his ways and live? What do you think the Lord prefers? Repentance? Or that the wicked should die in their sins? What does he prefer? Well, he prefers repentance, doesn't he? But when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he hath trespassed, and in the sin that he hath sinned, in them shall he die. Be obedient to the Lord. Be faithful to the Lord. You know, I've seen that over the course of my years, and I pray the Lord helps me. You know, I've seen people that would live faithful and be faithful to the Lord and His church for decades and get down to the end of their life and just kind of dry up. Kind of, in a matter of speaking, they run out of gas, so to speak. What a sad thing. What a sad thing that the things of life, and I understand hindrances, I understand health difficulties, I understand that, but I'm talking about desire being gone. Oh, there's desire to do something on Monday, but not on the Lord's day. I don't understand that. I don't understand how that recovery happens on Sunday night. And I pray to God He'll help me, that I would be faithful to Him, that you would be faithful unto Him. That we would be faithful unto our Lord. His trespass that he has trespassed, and all the sin that he has sinned, in them shall he die. Verse number 25. Yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. Hear now, O house of Israel, verse 25. Is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal? When a righteous man turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and dieth in them, for his iniquity that he hath done shall he die. What's unequitable about that? You want a policy that your children pay for your sins? Is that it? Is that what the Lord's... Is that what they want? Again, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive. Because he considereth and turneth away from his transgressions that he hath committed, he shall surely live. He shall not die. You want him to go ahead and die? Is that what you want? Remember the woman. It speaks of the nature of man. Remember the woman. The two women, one had a child, the other had a child, and let's say the second child of the second gal died. Remember that? And in the night, she went and she stole the child of the first woman, the child that lived. And so the first woman took the occasion to Solomon and said, "She's stolen my child. She's stolen my child." And the other woman said, No, she hasn't. She hasn't. This is my child. I've not stolen her child. This is my child." And Solomon said, "Bring the child." And gets one of his soldiers, said, "Take out a sword and cut the child in half and get half to one woman and half to the other woman." And the one woman says, "Yeah, Do it. Do it. She didn't have good, didn't want anybody else to have good. Isn't that the way of the sinner's heart? The other woman said, no, no, let the child live. Let the child live. And Solomon knew who the mother was, right? But isn't that the nature within man? I don't want anything good. I want my wickedness, and I don't want anybody else to have anything good either. Isn't that the way it is with man? And the Lord's calling them on the carpet. What a sorry, abominable attitude that they have. Yet saith the house of Israel, verse 29, the way of the Lord is not equal. O house of Israel, are not my ways equal? Are not your ways unequal? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel. See, they come to a point in their abominations and their sinful, wicked pursuit that they couldn't discern anything. It sounds like Romans chapter 1, a reprobate mind, huh? No decision made had any semblance of godliness to it. That's how bad they got. O house of Israel, are not my ways equal? Are not your ways unequal? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel. Every one according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. See, that's John 3 speaks the same thing, right? Those that have been saved. Those that receive the Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And here's the condemnation. Sinners that love their sin, they don't want the light. They don't want to get near the light. But sinners that have repented before God and been saved, they love the light and like to get close to the light because they don't mind it being showed that God is working in them. But sinners love their sin more than they want the Lord. They love their sin more than they want the Lord. And the Lord says, turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. And we know, you know, we at this vantage point, we know that it's the Lord that makes a new heart. You know, we talked about that this morning. That's the reason we pray that the Lord would work and convict sinners and open their eyes and open their ears and open their hearts to the understanding of the gospel and of their need of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where a person just says, what in the world is he talking about? I don't understand a word that Brother Jim says. To where the Lord says, the Lord works in them to say, oh, that's the Lord speaking. That's my need. I'm in jeopardy of dying and going to hell. I need Christ. And the Lord does that. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? I would ask you that are here not saved, why will you die? Why will you die when salvation in Christ is free? It's there. It requires no thing for you to do, no work, nothing to build, nothing to borrow, nothing to pay. But the Lord Jesus Christ says, come unto Him. Repent. Repent before God. And have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why will you die? The Lord hadn't kept it a secret. You know, Allah, the God of the Islamists, He keeps secrets. He likes to play games with His people. Peradventure, Allah might be, you know, playing a trick on you today. Lord God Almighty, Jehovah God, whose Son is the Lord Jesus Christ, plays no games, no tricks, tells always the truth. That's what sinners need. That's what you and I need. Listen, for I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth. I think that when the Lord Jesus Christ is at the great white throne judgment, it'll be the thing to do at the right time, at the right place, but we will have no joy in it. When wicked sinners, unrepentant, unpentant sinners are cast into the lake of fire. It'll be beyond like you and I would think of duty. He will be right in every way and in every attitude of it. It will be just and it will be right. It'll be extreme, but it won't be with laughter, and it won't be with a cruelty of mockery and scoff. It'll be what needs to be done according to His justice and His judgment. As maybe we would say in the vernacular, the Lord won't be having a big time, but He'll be doing what His justice requires. I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, because of that, turn yourselves and live ye. Chapter 19. Moreover, take thou up a lamentation for the princes of Israel. And so we're going to see this as we go through the book. There's going to be a lamentation. There's going to be something directed at particular people. Let's see what it says. And say, what is thy mother? A lioness? She lay down among lions. She nourished her whelps among young lions. And she brought up one of her whelps. It became a young lion, and it learned to catch the prey. It devoured them. Another allegory, isn't it? Remember the one about the trees of Lebanon, and the sprig from the top taken? It's kind of like the Lord Jesus, He spoke to the people in His day in parables, didn't He? That hearing they might hear, and seeing they wouldn't see, and perceiving they would not understand. It's really kind of a thing that when the Lord gets down to doing like this, there is an element of where the Lord condescends what He says to us that we might understand, but there is an element too that we're so sorry that we can't understand that we need it to be put into a story. You know, we need it to be put into a parable. She brought up one of her whelps, verse 3, it became a young lion and learned to catch the prey. It devoured men. The nations also heard of him and was taken in their pit, and they brought him with chains to the land of Egypt. Now when she saw that she had waited and her hope was lost, then she took another of her whelps and made him a young lion. And he went up and down among the lions and became a young lion and learned to catch the prey and devoured men. And he knew their desolate palaces, and he laid waste their cities. And the land was desolate and the fullness thereof by the noise of his roaring. Then the nations set against him on every side from the provinces and spread their net over him, and he was taken in their pit. And they put him in ward and chains and brought him to the king of Babylon. They brought him into holds, that his voice should no more be heard upon the mountains of Israel. Thy mother is like a vine in thy blood, planted by the waters. She was fruitful and full of branches by reason of many waters. And she had strong rods for the scepters of them that bear rule. And her stature was exalted among the thick branches. And she appeared in her height with the multitude of her branches. But she was plucked up in fury. She was cast down to the ground. And the east wind dried up her fruit. Her strong rods were broken and withered. The fire consumed them. And now she is planted in the wilderness in a dry and thirsty ground. And fire is gone out of a rod of her branches, which hath devoured her fruit, so that she hath no strong rod to be a scepter to rule. This is a lamentation, and shall be for a lamentation. Who compared to Israel in the day of Solomon? In the day of David? Who compared? There was none that compared. The nations, in a sense, and some of the language that the Lord uses for future for Israel, but in a sense, the nations worshipped Israel. They were afraid of Israel. They were afraid of David. They were really afraid of Solomon. By the blessing of the Lord. And yet, Solomon, Rehoboam, Jeroboam, and the divided kingdom, and the perpetual going down of the nation, the divided nation, had such greatness and gave it up for what? Is there anything to trade for God? That's what they did, though, didn't they? They took their Lord, their God, our Heavenly Father, our God Almighty, they took the rock and traded him off for somebody else. And boy, was she brought into captivity. Oh, she can't move. She can't even come up with a plan that would be a decent plan to even be able to escape or rest out of the tribulations that are at hand. She was like a vine planted in a good place, fruitful, a lot of branches, a lot of strength, a lot of scepters, good kings, but then wicked kings that took the blessing and the glory and the work of our Lord and used it for themselves, used it to sin against God, to sin against their own God that had brought them so far. What deliverance has there been of a nation greater than the deliverance of Israel out of Egypt? What? There is none, is there? There is none. And the Lord did that for them. It is a lamentation, isn't it? It is a terrible thing. You know, over there in Israel, I'm told, and you know, since Israel became a nation again, and wow, what an attention getter that is. Israel's a nation again? When's that ever happened? But it happens with the Lord. But they irrigate and irrigate and irrigate and irrigate. You know, that used to be the land that flowed with milk and honey. They didn't have to irrigate like then like they have to irrigate now. One day the Lord's going to send them good rain again. Well, must just be the systems of the earth just haven't worked out to bring rain there anymore. Probably just a very unlucky situation, don't you think? Now, the Lord stopped it off, hadn't he? And the place has turned into a desert. And what'd they do? They traded it in for better. They traded it in for wickedness and sin. The Lord has given these two lamentations to understand. They were strong. They were strong because of the Lord. Why would we take the blessing of the Lord and use it to sin against him? May our Lord help us. We'll go ahead and stop there for now, and Lord willing, pick it up here in chapter 20. We're going to have another marker of time here. It'll be at the point of 2 years and a month from the beginning of the book. So at this point, this prophecy, Ezekiel has been prophesying and there amongst the captives for 2 years and a month. He's going to come down. This is a lengthy chapter. This next chapter is a lengthy chapter. And there's something at the end of the chapter that I find very interesting. And we'll look at that next time.